Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, the life stages of our pets, how to care for your pet at each stage of his life. In our Don't Eat That segment, what you need to know about dog vomiting. We'll start with life stages from our friends at the Penfield Veterinary Hospital. Life stages of your pets, starting with puppies and kittens. If you've just adopted a kitten or puppy, congratulations on your new family member. This is a fun and important time for you and your kitten or puppy's life. Here's information on the specific phases of your new friend's life and on what you need to know to keep your new pet healthy. First, the kitten stage, 7 to 14 weeks. Kittens are very playful during this phase, and you will see pouncing, ambushing, chasing, etc. They are busy honing their hunting skills, and these activities are learned from observing their mom and siblings. Kittens at this stage will also begin to play with objects, tossing, pawing, mouthing, etc. Be sure to bring your kitten to a veterinarian for a complete physical exam. It is a good idea to bring along a fresh stool sample so it can be checked for intestinal parasites. Your veterinarian will create an appropriate vaccination and deworming schedule for your new friend. Your kitten will need a high-quality kitten food, either dry, canned, or combination. Be sure to follow the instructions given on the food, as all brands have varying levels of nutrients per cup of food. You will also need a litter box or two in easily accessible areas for your kitten. We recommend a minimum of one box per cat per floor. Scoop the litter box daily and clean weekly or as needed to preserve appropriate elimination behavior. It is important to provide an outlet for your kitten's natural behavior of scratching. Scatter some scratching posts throughout the house. You should monitor your kitten's scratching, and if you notice that there is a specific texture or orientation, horizontal or vertical, make sure you get the scratching posts that suit their preference. Also popular with kittens is the large carpeted cat tree for both climbing and scratching. Following these recommendations will go a long way in preventing inappropriate scratching on furniture or flooring. Next is kittens 3 to 6 months. Your kitten will most likely remain playful. Therefore, regular playtimes are important for the growth of your kitten and your bond. Always interact regularly with love and avoid rough play to discourage inappropriate nipping and/or scratching. The time has come to schedule your kitten's spay or neuter surgery with your veterinarian. This is an important surgery that should take place by the time your kitten is 6 months old. The spay-neuter surgery has many medical and social benefits for your pet and is important since overpopulation is a huge problem in our society. At the end of this piece, we will have a review of those many medical and social benefits of spaying and neutering your pets, not just cats, from the Humane Society. On to the puppy stage. Puppies, 8 to 12 weeks. Puppies at this age are very playful and curious. Puppy-proof your house and anywhere they will be spending time. This is very similar to child-proofing. If you need help, contact your vet. Do not be surprised if your puppy whines and cries for the first few nights after leaving mom and siblings, as this is a normal response to a major life change. Support your new puppy with love, toys, and encouragement. Create a routine and stick to it. Security and predictability are the backbone of a happy and sound puppy. Soon after bringing your puppy home, you will need to see your veterinarian for a complete physical exam. Bring along a fresh stool sample to check for any parasites. Your veterinarian will create a vaccination and deworming protocol that is appropriate for your new puppy. Be sure to feed a high-quality puppy food. A whole meat source should be the first ingredient. Depending on the breed and size of your puppy, your feeding requirements will vary. Follow the feeding instructions given on the food, as nutritional levels vary by brand. discuss any questions you have regarding diet with the staff at your veterinary hospital. During this phase, everything your puppy encounters will have a lasting impact. Remember this while you are determining house rules. While an 8-pound puppy hunting for food on the counter is cute, a 90-pound dog on the counter is not. Be diligent in what your puppy is exposed to. We recommend a puppy class for controlled socialization with other friendly puppies and their owners. Special care is to be taken at 8 to 11 weeks, as this is known as the fear period or fear imprint stage. During this stage, any scary or traumatic event will have a much more intense and even longer lasting effect than at any other time in your puppy's life. So bring along tasty treats and a special toy when leaving your house and going to a new location. This is especially important when going to the veterinarian. Take things slow and keep them positive. Next is puppies 12 to 16 weeks. This period is when a puppy discovers where he falls in his pack, your family. You may notice that your formerly snuggly puppy now tries to bite or nip in play or when being redirected. This is a natural behavior, and what is most important is your reaction. Do not react with fear or anger. Your role is to become the pack leader. Be consistent with rules during this time and avoid dominance games such as tug of war or wrestling. Reward all positive behaviors with a treat, a fun game, or a special toy. This is the perfect stage to begin puppy obedience classes. Puppies 5 to 18 months, the teenager stage. This period can occur at a variety of ages depending on size and breed. Smaller breeds typically reach this stage at 5 months, large breeds at 9 to 10 months, and giant breeds at 12 to 18 months. Many of the behavior issues encountered during this time, such as urine marking, roaming, interspecies aggression, or increased dominance, are reduced or eliminated with spay or neuter surgery. It is important to set up your puppy's spay-neuter surgery with your veterinarian. Again, we will learn more about the importance and benefits of spaying and neutering at the end of this piece. Energy levels are high at this teenage stage, and exercise, both mental and physical, play a large role in keeping your companion happy, healthy, and well-behaved. The adult stage, cats, 1 to 9 years old. You may feel like you haven't seen your veterinarian in forever after the frequent trips made while raising your kitten, but the annual exam is just as important. Annual exams and preventive vaccines, tests, and medicine are necessary to keep your cat in the best health possible, and your veterinarian will help set up an individualized schedule for your adult cat. Your cat should have been transitioned off kitten food at this point and put on a high-quality adult cat food. You should continue to engage your cat in daily exercise. Laser pointers, wands with a toy or feather at the end, and catnip toys are all excellent motivators for play. Exercise is important to prevent obesity in our adult companions. Adult dogs, 1 to 7 years. Your dog will need to see his or her veterinarian at least once a year for an annual exam. At the annual exam, your veterinarian will check for health concerns, intestinal parasites, heartworm disease, obesity, and address any concerns you may have. Vaccines will be given on an as-needed basis, and your vet will set up an individual schedule for your dog. Your adult dog should have been transitioned onto a high-quality adult dog food. You should engage your dog in routine exercise, as obesity is one of the most frequent causes for health problems. Continue to socialize your dog with other friendly dogs and people. Seniors. Biannual exams are very important at this stage. The majority of old age problems are manageable today. Please discuss any concerns you have with your veterinary staff. Cats, about 10 years of age, give or take. Seniority in cats is gradual and varies from cat to cat. Your veterinarian will play a key role in determining when your cat has reached senior status. Your senior cat should be seeing the veterinarian on a biannual basis. Your veterinarian may recommend an annual senior screening, such as blood panels and urine analysis. These test results help your vet determine if your cat has any underlying medical conditions that need treatment. Common diseases or conditions in senior cats include hyperthyroidism, diabetes mellitus, kidney disease, and dental disease. Discuss dietary needs with your veterinarian at this time as well. If you have any concerns or notice a change in your senior cat's behavior or eating habits, alert your veterinary hospital right away. Senior cats are especially susceptible to anxiety and stress. Loud noises, new voices, sudden disruptions can all trigger stress. Try to avoid these if possible. Consistency and predictability are important for your senior cat. Be aware of your cat's weight, as too much weight puts a lot of strain on joints and increase disease incidence, like diabetes. And too thin can be a sign of a medical condition. Play is important for your senior cat, and you should make time each day to engage in a gentle play and petting session. Dogs about 7 or more years. Continue to include your companion in your normal routines and events. Walks and outings are very important both mentally and physically. Feed a high-quality dog food and discuss with your veterinarian if and when a senior diet is appropriate. Biannual complete physical examinations are important as your dog is aging. Your veterinarian may recommend an annual senior screening, such as a blood panel and urine analysis, to check for common medical disorders. Common diseases or medical conditions in senior dogs include hypothyroidism, kidney disease, diabetes mellitus, periodontal disease, and arthritis, among others. And as promised in their article, Why Spay and Neuter Your Pet, the Humane Society says that in addition to preventing the birth of thousands of unwanted animals that end up in shelters or euthanized, spay and neutering pets has other important benefits. Part of the reduced lifespan of unaltered pets can be attributed to their increased urge to roam, exposing them to fights with other animals, getting struck by cars, and other mishaps. Another contributor to the increased longevity of altered pets involves the reduced risk of certain types of cancers. Unspayed female cats and dogs have a far greater chance of developing pyometra, a fatal uterine infection, uterine cancer, mammary cancer, and other cancers of the reproductive system. Medical evidence indicates that females spayed before their first heat are typically healthier. Veterinarians now sterilize dogs and cats as young as 8 weeks of age. Male pets who are neutered eliminate their chances of getting testicular cancer, and it is thought that they have lowered rates of prostate cancer as well. Curbing bad behavior is another benefit of spaying and neutering. Unneutered dogs are much more assertive and prone to urine marking, such as lifting their leg, than neutered dogs. Although it is most often associated with male dogs, females may do it too. Spaying or neutering your dog should reduce urine marking and may stop it altogether. For cats, the urge to spray is extremely strong in an intact cat, and the simplest solution is to get yours neutered or spayed by 4 months of age, before there's even a problem. Neutering solves 90% of all marking issues, even in cats that have been doing it for a while. It can also minimize howling, the urge to roam, and fighting with other males. In both cats and dogs, the longer you wait, the greater risk you run of the surgery not doing the trick because the behavior is so ingrained. Other behavioral problems that can be ameliorated by spay and neuter include roaming, especially when females are in heat. Aggression. Studies also show that most dog bites involve dogs who are unaltered. excessive barking, mounting, and other dominance-related behaviors. While getting your pet spayed or neutered can help curb undesirable behaviors, it will not change their fundamental personality, like their protective instinct. And just as with dogs and cats, spayed female rabbits are less likely to get ovarian, mammary, and uterine cancers, which can be prevalent in mature females. Rabbits reproduce faster than dogs or cats and often end up in shelters where they must be euthanized. Neutering male rabbits can reduce hormone-driven behavior such as lunging, mounting, spraying, and boxing. And if you have a rabbit, you're likely familiar with those behaviors. So there you have it. Important information for the health of your pets at each stage of their life. And now for the portion of the program I like to call Don't Eat That, or maybe Don't Do That, from the APCC Pet Poison Helpline. Senior Veterinary Information Specialist Joe Marshall shares what I know about vomiting. She writes, I consider myself to be an expert in the act of making animals vomit, a kind of PhD in the art of induction emesis. It is a common thing for me to recommend to our dog-owning callers once I have triaged the situation. What brings me to write this is an experience that I recently had with a service dog puppy that I am training for Pets Loyal to Vet. Liberty is her name, and at 5 months of age, she is a challenge, to say the least. Every day we take a walk with one of my other dogs, and the two of them run themselves silly. Well, let's say they run themselves out of naughtiness, so we can train a little without all of the attitude that puppies can possess. We have lots of wide-open spaces around us and spend a significant amount of time in the fields and on the gravel road where it is safe for them to be loose. I frequently call them back to me and then release them again to reinforce their recalls. It so happens that today, Liberty delayed a little on her running back to me and clearly was interested in something in the freshly cut alfalfa field. She suddenly grabbed it and came running to me, but never quite completed her recall and stayed just out of my reach as to prevent me from getting her prize. The prize in question appeared to be a dead rodent, a rather stinky one at that. By the time I tackled her, it had gone down the hatch in one big gulp, and all that was left was a stench of something dead and rotting. Every dog owner knows that feeling of desperately trying to get something out of the dog's mouth that you feel may cause them harm, and catching that last glimpse of it as it goes down. What to do next? It is now time to triage my own dog and determine what would be my next best step to keep her healthy. I didn't have a clue what it was, but I knew it was definitely rotten. What had killed it? The hay field was recently cut, so likely it got caught in the mower, but the farmer could be putting out poison, although I really doubted that. So, what are the risks to be determined on whether or not this dead, rotting rodent is going to harm my dog? Is there poison in the dead critter, resulting in relay toxicity for my puppy? Does my dog have any deformities, anatomical challenges, or concerns that will result in a worse situation if I make her vomit? Is she conscious? Is making her vomit likely to worsen the situation? So let's break this down one risk at a time. First, dead rotting animal. Yep, that has a strong likelihood of making her sick. Vomiting and diarrhea would be the minimum. If it were persistent vomiting and diarrhea, we would eventually face dehydration and electrolyte changes. So this is a yes on this one. Time to get the peroxide bottle. Whoa, wait a minute. We still have more to evaluate. This is where I see people call me after they get the peroxide bottle and prematurely, in a panic, pour it down the dog's throat, making the whole situation exponentially worse. So, the next step on triage. Is there poison in the dead critter? Well, I have no idea. Am I willing to take the chance that she will have relay toxicity? No way. So, this makes two yes votes for vomiting. Next concern would be deformities, anatomical challenges, or concern that would worsen the situation. Does she have a history of seizures, a stomach that is tacked down to prevent bloat, a mega esophagus, or other health-related concern that could make vomiting potentially life-threatening? Is the dog a bulldog, a pug, a French bulldog, or other breed that has a pushed-in face that has the risk of aspirating vomit because of their palate being elongated? Aspiration means the vomit gets in their lungs and causes a potentially fatal pneumonia. Liberty is a Labrador and German Shepherd mixed breed and is healthy with no known health concerns, so this is a third vote for yes. Let's get the peroxide. On to the next concern. Is she conscious? Yep, she is running around and proud of her indulgence. Dogs that are unconscious cannot be induced to vomit. First off, they cannot swallow the peroxide, and it gets in their lungs, resulting in the potentially fatal aspiration pneumonia. If by chance it does get to their stomach, they will aspirate the vomitus because they are not able to get it out of their mouth. And when they breathe, it goes into their lungs. We also have this same concern with ingestions of medications that are quickly absorbed and cause the dog to go unconscious after peroxide is given and before they vomit. Again, we have a risk of aspiration when this happens. So for Libby, this is the fourth yes on proceeding with induction of emesis because she's conscious. Okay, is making her vomit likely to make this worse? What do I mean by this? Is it a sharp object or a large object that could get stuck or cause damage to the esophagus coming back up? Is it something that is corrosive, like a battery or concentrated toilet bowl cleaner, for example? If it can damage going down and then double the damage coming back up, then vomiting is the last thing we should be doing. I saw nothing sharp in the critter, and it was not big, likely the size of a mole. This should be easy for a 35-pound puppy to bring up. So this is five yes votes for vomiting. Now it is time to get the peroxide bottle. How do we induce vomiting? We get so many calls where someone has used salt or some other online remedy for induction of emesis and have caused so much damage in the process. Many of the dogs that have been induced with salt end up with salt toxicosis. Sadly enough, it usually turns out that whatever they ate initially was benign, and there was no need to even induce emesis. Unfortunately, they ended up hospitalized for a few days to get their electrolytes back to normal. There's only one thing that we recommend giving to induce emesis in dogs, and that one thing is 3% hydrogen peroxide, not salt, not mustard, not dish soap, etc. We recommend 3% hydrogen peroxide that is from a fresh, unopened bottle. Old peroxide does not work well as it can go flat and have no foaming ability. So for Liberty, I poured 1 tablespoon of fresh hydrogen peroxide on a slice of plain old white bread and put it in her food bowl. She is a chow hound, so she quickly ate it, and then I started to walk her around. The walking gets the foaming going, and she successfully vomited up a stinky, dead mole in about 5 minutes. Had she not vomited in 15 minutes, I would have doubled the dose and continued walking her. If she did not vomit after that, my next step would have been to consult our local veterinarian to induce vomiting by another means. We never use peroxide more than twice because of the risk of more serious gastrointestinal irritation. Note, the bread works well with the first dose, but rarely do we get so lucky with the second dose. Usually, if a second dose is needed, this needs to be given orally with a syringe or other means, being careful that the dog is swallowing it and it is not getting into their lungs. Vomiting your dog can be life-saving in some instances, but all the considerations need to be carefully weighed. Every time a pet owner calls me regarding an exposure, I weigh all of these considerations and then make my best recommendation for your individual pet with their specific health concerns and exposure risks, because I take your pet's health as seriously as I take my own pet's health. We are here 24/7 to help you with your pet, and when you weigh the odds and the risks, our fee is very minimal to lessen the risks and keep your pet healthy. When the exposure requires veterinarian care, the fee covers all follow-up. That means your veterinarian can work with our veterinary staff and toxicology staff to treat your pet as long as needed 24/7. Trust me, if Liberty had been poisoned by the rotting dead thing she ate, I would want the staff I work with to be the first call my veterinarian made for consultation of care. They are simply the best. I am glad to say Liberty has recovered and is back to her juvenile delinquent ways. And here is my special PSA regarding cats. Cats are an odd bunch, and there is no way to safely get them to vomit at home. They have to go in to the veterinarian if they need to vomit. Hydrogen peroxide can result in hemorrhagic gastroenteritis or ulcers and bloody vomit and diarrhea. So we do not want to ever give our cats hydrogen peroxide or try to get them to vomit at home. This was provided by the ASPCA's APCC Poison Control Center, and their number is 855-764-7661. From our friends at the Penfield Veterinary Hospital, when to see the veterinarian after all that vomiting. It is sometimes difficult to know if the symptoms or problems your pet is experiencing warrant taking him or her to the veterinarian. The following list details situations in which a visit to the veterinarian would be recommended. You should take your pet to the vet if your pet is experiencing red eyes, rapid or abnormal breathing, persistent coughing or choking, if your pet is having difficulty urinating or defecating, has inappropriate urinations or defecations, or increased water intake or urine output, frequent urinations, or persistent vomiting or diarrhea. If your pet experiences pronounced lethargy or tiredness, weakness, incoordination or loss of balance, loss of appetite, seizures, or persistent lameness, you should take him or her to the vet. If you notice skin growths, significant itching, skin sores, or itchy or draining ears, if your pet is obese or is showing aggression or other behavioral issues, or if she is having difficulty giving birth, these would all be situations when taking your pet to your veterinarian would be recommended. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. Thank you for listening. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.